Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Well, thank you, Brother Dearman. Welcome to Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. So glad to have you along with us. We're going to do exactly as the title of the program implies. We're going to read God's Word, make an application of it to our lives. So if you would, grab your Bible. I'll be reading from the King James Translation throughout our lesson today. We're going to begin a new study, and one I have titled Prodigal Pigs. Really, it's the story of the prodigal son, but when I composed this material for a vacation Bible school, the theme was animals of the Bible, so we talked about Balaam's donkey, and then we talked about the prodigal pigs. And so since I'm a fan of alliteration, I thought let's just keep it entitled The Prodigal Pigs. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. If you will, and as we're setting this up, the late Brother George W. Dehoff has called The Prodigal Son one of the world's best loved Bible stories, and I would believe that to be true. We're really going to examine, though, the entirety of the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. Now, I always call this the lost chapter. Not because it's like some of these, you may watch a TV infomercial, the lost recordings of Hank Williams. Well, those, they didn't have them, somebody unearthed them in a garage. That's a different kind of lost than Luke 15. The Luke 15 lost chapter, not because it was ever missing, friends, but the entirety of the chapter deals with three things that are lost. We have a lost sheep, we have a lost coin, and then we have a lost son. Well, you might even argue two lost sons, but that's up for debate in our next lesson. So let's begin Luke chapter 15 and verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Christ. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. So there's your audience. You have tax collectors, you have sinners, you have Pharisees. They were the ones that thought they were holier than thou, and they always thought that they were above the law, even though they were oftentimes breaking the law. And then you have the scribes, and the scribes' job is to know what God's Word says. And they would often make interpretations when people would come up and ask them scripture-related questions. Now, Christ speaks this parable, verse 4, unto him, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And so there's our first story in the lost chapter. It's the story of a lost sheep. Now, this is not the first time in the Bible it's been told. It was the first time told by the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. And then it was told first by Jesus in the New Testament to his disciples in Matthew chapter 18. And now he tells the story again, but his audience is different. Remember, it's those tax collectors, those sinners, Pharisees and scribes. But a man has 100 sheep, loses one, leaves the 99 safely, and goes out and finds the one. When he finds the one, he throws a joyous celebration. Now let's pick up our next lost story in verses 8, 9, and 10. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, sometimes we just read through this one. I would say the sheep one, it may be a little bit more easy for us to understand. But, for instance, I'm a coin collector, so I have delved a lot into this in the history side, the biblical side, and also the coin side. These 10 coins would have probably had a hole punched in them. They were just driven a nail through it, made a hole, and they, at different times, might have been worn as jewelry. But the kicker was the 10 signified a certain marital status, but 9 signified a completely different one. And so when she has lost a coin, it's not just that she has lost some financial gain, because she has, that coin was still worth a monetary value, but it also was a social value as well. So what does she do? She sweeps the whole house. We would say she has turned everything upside down until she found it. And then she finds it and she calls her friends together with great rejoicing. Why? Something that had been lost was now found. And both of these stories in the first 10 verses of Luke chapter 15, they both end with the same sentiments. That of, there is joy in heaven. What's the spiritual comparison, Jesus? There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents more than those that are faithful. Why? Because the faithful are still doing thus saith the Lord. But those that repent had been lost, and had they died in that lost state, they would have been lost eternally. They would have not been in heaven, but they would have been in hell. And so there is a great rejoicing over the angels in heaven. And normally there's great rejoicing among those around them as well. When somebody who has been wandering in the world comes back, it is a joyous, joyous thing. Speaking of coming back, would you stick around on the other side of this break? We will delve into the story of the prodigal pigs here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you so much for sticking around with us here on the other side of the break, Reading the Word. Let's begin our official main idea here, and that is the prodigal pigs. We're going to be reading Luke 15, starting in verse 11, and we will go through the end of the chapter, verse 32. We may not finish it all today, but we will finish it in the next lesson. By the way, if you would like to hear this lesson again, or any other lesson in the series, they're all available for free on my website. You can stream them or download them. The website is thejustinreedshow.com. That's thejustinreedshow.com, thejustinreedshow.com. And once you're there, just click on the menu item that says Programs, and then click on Reading the Word, and you can find everything here, plus a whole lot of other programs I'm involved in as well. It's all on the website, thejustinreedshow.com. Luke 15 in verse 11, Jesus said, "A certain man has 2 sons." So here we see, as Jesus begins this parable, he is introducing us to all of our main characters within the first 2 verses. There is a father. He has an older son, and a younger son. Now, their age difference, I don't know. I don't know the age of the father. I don't know anybody else in the family, because no one else in the family is as important to our study as these 3 men. Now, it's been assumed that the younger son was presumably no older than 18 years old. That means he would have been unmarried, more likely than not, because we would have had a record of that. And also, he would have had little to no experience with money. Think back to when you were 18. If you had been given an inheritance, you might not have known what to do with it like you might now. Now you may be very well financially secured. You may have investments. You may have retirements, 401ks. But think back to right before you graduated high school. How much of that knowledge did you have? You might have had some already. You may just be a whiz with numbers. But regardless, this man, more likely than not, evidently from the text, did not have that much knowledge. Verse 12, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me this portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." Well, this is really insulting the father, because he is basically saying to his father something that I can never imagine saying. He says, "Father, I wish that you were dead." Because the only way to truly get an inheritance is for the father to be deceased. We see, in regards to dividing the inheritance, in the book of Deuteronomy, which is the second time that the law is given, it's kind of rehashing the law to them before they go into the promised land. In Deuteronomy 21 and 17, The Bible says, "But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn, by giving him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his." So when they divide the inheritance, the older, if you have two sons, the older son gets 2/3, and the younger son gets 1/3. That's the biblical way to do it. Now, if you have more than two, the older one still gets a double. The older one gets more than the younger ones. It wasn't unheard of at this time, history tells us, but unusual to divide the inheritance before the father's death. That's usually something, like if you're the namee, the beneficiary on a life insurance policy, you can't call up your insurance provider and say, "Well, I'm the beneficiary of my uncle's life insurance. He's healthy as a fiddle, but I would like his money." But you can't do that. It will not work out for you. Friends, we see there's a problem here with the prodigal son. He's thinking these things in his heart. James 1:15 says that sin begins in the heart. We see he basically tells his father, "I wish you were dead." Look at verse 13. "And not many days after the younger son had gathered all together." Now, pause here. I want you to think about everything that's happened. This father has had to figure out, if he didn't already know exactly what he had, he has to figure that out. He has to figure out a monetary value, and he has to give the cattle, give the land, give the servants. He has to give 1/3 of everything to his younger son. And then that younger son has to turn around and liquidate his assets, because he's not really concerned about having a plot of land next to his brother or having all this cattle to tend with. He's wanting the financial gain. "Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living." Friends, the use of one's wealth corresponds to the object of one's worship. We see he's not worshiping God, he's worshiping self, and we'll see that in the way he does it. "Not many days," that could be an indication that his downward spiral is going to be rapid. Now, there was a good law in effect at the time that the father could give this inheritance but still live on the land, so he's okay. But we see the son really has no intention to return. We don't really know exactly what all he's going to do. His brother's going to later accuse him of doing a whole lot of worse things than he may or may not have done. But regardless, the Bible says he wasted his money. Look at verse 14. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want." Brother George W. Dehoff has said regarding this verse, and I quote, "There is always a famine when one is far from God." Always a famine when one is far from God. Here we see there's a twofold evil in this verse. There is poverty and there is famine. Severe famines were common during biblical times, but we see, especially with like Joseph and the dreams that he had, they were able to store up for 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of the lean time. So they were able to budget ahead, if you will. But the problem with the prodigal son is he spent all his money. He was living for the here and now, not the tomorrow and the next day, and that wound up to be his part of his demise. He didn't have a rainy day fund or a petty cash fund if you're a business. He didn't have an emergency savings account that he could go withdraw $10,000 from, or whatever the case may be. He spent all his money. And so what happens? He begins to be in want. More likely than not, he is wanting things that normally he would have never thought he would have been in want for. It's funny how that happens. Well, it's kind of funny, and it's kind of not, because, I mean, honestly, he did do it to himself, but you kind of feel sorry for him, and then you kind of don't. But I tell you what, we're going to run out of time. I knew we weren't going to get all the way through this chapter. That is okay. If you will join me next time we study together in a week, same time, same place, we will continue looking at the prodigal pigs, the story of the prodigal son here in Luke 15. This has been Reading the Word. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.